We're here on the PLL Happy Hour podcast with Chrome attackman Brendan Nickturn, having a sensational rookie campaign so far, heading into the back half of the PLL season. Brendan, we'll start it off. You know, we're just a few days removed from the All-Star game. What was that experience like? You know, you're among the best of the best to play pro lacrosse, and you get to play with them and experience everything that is the spectacle there. How was that experience?
Yeah, you know, the whole weekend was awesome. Obviously, all the guys that you looked up to growing up, you know, some guys 10 years ago, some guys more recently, the whole experience around it was pretty awesome. And then, you know, within the game, it goes to show you how flashy some guys are. And I was staying on the sideline the first quarter, and I was a little worried because I'm not a behind-the-back kind of guy, and that's all they were throwing, especially on my team. So I was a little worried before I went in. I think I wasn't right for the All-Star game.
Hey, not flashy, but you get the job done, that's for sure. So that's all that matters, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm an old-school guy.
Well, with that, I mean, I think that kind of it goes to, like, this year for you and Chrome. You know, you're an old school guy. You don't necessarily get all the headlines or didn't get all the headlines and, you know, the accolades, and you had a fantastic career. And you go to a Chrome team that kind of had that vibe to it, it felt like, as well. But with this year, you know, I think Chrome are maybe the story of the year so far. Just what is it about this group that makes this team successful?
Yeah, I think it hit on two things and they fall together. You know, what I loved was why I was drafted by Chrome is, you know, it was a culture, especially when I came in a training camp, is it's kind of be slightly reset. And I just, that just made it that much more enjoying. You know, it seemed every day you woke up in training camp, it was just every single moment mattered. And it was just awesome to kind of be a part of resetting the culture. And then, you know, I think it's been tremendous. The leadership on the team is just like, you know, Mackie and Randy are the two captains, and, you know, they seriously are the best. And I've learned a lot just from being under them. It goes so much more beyond them, too. It's just, I think this year everyone's kind of found their role in whatever various ways. And on top of that, how that works is just the personalities in the locker room is just clicking. You know, everyone's kind of an outgoing guy, and, you know, everyone's very bought in, and you could tell that from the little plays. You know, everyone's diving for ground balls or standing in front of shots. So it's definitely, from what I've seen, is just a little shift in the culture, and everyone's just bought in.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're describing, you know, is the Army Black Knights, but, you know, as a pro team, you get another first year player, Logan Wisnowskis, the first pick in the PLL draft. You and him, just it seemed like from game one, there's just some sort of special chemistry you guys have there. Why do you two particularly work so well together? And, you know, kind of expanding on that, this whole attack is pretty deadly.
Yeah, I think specifically Logan, I think he's just a guy you could kind of drop in any offense and he's going to find his rhythm, because his IQ is just off the charts, and he's the best at what he does. And that goes beyond just finding space. You know, he's able to beat his guy. He's able to feed. But, you know, particularly with me, when I'm dodging from X, my head's always up, and, you know, I know that Logan's in the right spots. So I think right when he came on, you know, the day before training camp, we kind of clicked, and we've been rooming together every time we travel on the weekends. So, you know, we're definitely building the chemistry even more off the field. And then with Dylan, Dylan's a very different player, and I love playing with him because he's very vocal about what he does. You know, we learned bounce off each other in training camp, and just right away I knew that, you know, when Dylan gets the ball at a certain time at a certain spot, you know he's going, and then you're kind of just finding the open lane and he's going to find you. And the best part of how vocal he is, it made it just a lot easier for me. I was very comfortable, and just like with all three of us, we just clicked because the chemistry, it just felt like it was right there. And we just slowly been building off that.
Did you kind of see it coming? You know, when the draft was done that night, you know, Logan number one, and then you were picked number nine, the first pick of the second round. You know, what was your familiarity with Logan? Obviously, you'd seen him on TV. I'm not sure how well you knew him personally before then, but did you kind of have an idea like, oh, this is a guy I can play with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't know Logan before we met, you know, during training camp, but it was just, you know, it's a player that everyone wants to play with. And especially being an X guy, you know, that's the dream, because everything I said before with, you know, how he could just play with anyone, you know, he just makes me that much better, because it seems like I just got to get the ball to him and he's going to find the back of the net and he's doing most of the work. So, you know, it's a player that everyone wants to play with.
What has been your biggest adjustment so far to the program?
I think just the speed of the game, just mentally trying to find when to go and when not to go. And, you know, I'll see in the pillow, they don't slide that much. So, you know, if it's, we get a quick clear and it's getting the, my stick at, you know, 30 seconds, I now know that I just have to skip it through Dylan, whether he's going or we're going to back up to midfield and the flow of the offense. So I just think it's trying to find my rhythm, you know, at certain times. If it's under 15, I know now I'm going. So I think just not the speed of the game, but because, you know, I'm still dodging for the same spots. I think just kind of the ins and outs of the game is what I've just been slowly learning.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was throughout your college career, there were so many comparisons to Rob Pinnell, and, you know, they're certainly accurate in the way that you guys play. Did he, or were there any other players that maybe you've looked up to? Because you did mention how, you know, there's a lot of these guys you've looked up to for 10 years in their playing career. Did you seek any advice or kind of get any tips from some of the veterans before you, you know, you started that first game in PLL?
You know, I didn't reach out to any of those guys, but, you know, I always say growing up, I would always watch, you know, Rob's highlights, and I'd go in the backyard and, you know, I'd practice those question marks or the rockers and kind of all those moves that he did, I learned from him. And then even with Dylan, you know, when I got to like the prep school at West Point is when I tried to learn how to dodge, because I only had 1 year of an attackman under my belt, you know, from Massapequa. And Dylan's another guy that uses his body so well. So, you know, I think I've kind of just learned a lot from both those guys, and just, you know, they're both amazing at, you know, being very calm in tough situations, and how Dylan, you know, is he puts his shoulder down and he still keeps his head up. So, you know, there's so many things I've learned from both of those guys.
You know, 1 year of attack under your belt, you know, it seems phenomenal now that you're one of the best attackmen in the world. But when you were growing up, what was it, all across? What was your kind of sport background?
Yeah, so I've been all around. So growing up, I played basketball, soccer, football, and lacrosse, a little bit of baseball thrown in there if the seasons lined up. But when I got into high school, I just stuck with soccer. I played basketball, and then I played lacrosse. And I think I've learned a lot from all those sports and very different things. You know, I think a lot of my vision comes from basketball, and I just love that sport and how playing the two-man game, pick and roll, you know, there's so many things that I've learned from that. And then, you know, the footwork within soccer, whether that's dodging behind the cage. So there's a lot of things that I've learned from those sports.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you hear a lot about so much of the specialization, but then when you look at the top guys, I'd venture to say that most of the PLL players are multi-sport athletes, a lot of basketball players, you know, some of the face-off guys are wrestlers and soccer players and things like that. So it's just really a testament to like what that rounded skill set kind of can do at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you just learn so much, and there's so many little things, you know. Coach Alberici always talks about it. He loves recruiting those type of players because they're not just a lacrosse player. They learn so many little things that just adds into the game.
You know, Coach Alberici is one of the guys who's probably as respected as anyone in our sport. And, you know, talked to him a number of times about you over the years. And just like, you seem like a Coach Alberici kind of guy that he would recruit. But like, what's something about him? What's like the best lesson that you learned from him?
Yeah, there's so many specific, you know, lessons. And I think the best thing about Coach A and, you know, the whole coaching staff is obviously he's kind of brought them into his leadership style. But he's not afraid to just give it to you straight. And, you know, it's not often, you know, when you're getting yelled at in certain ways, but you just know it's so genuine, and he times it up perfectly. You know, he's not wasting his any time he yells, which is very, very rare. But, you know, when he speaks, you listen, and it's just, it goes into how respected he is. And then just another thing about him is just how much he loves his players. And he always makes it very, he vocalizes it all the time. And, you know, he's actually like a father figure for the team. Because obviously there's so many things about West Point that you're away from your family. A lot of these guys, you know, obviously you miss your family and you got to handle everything that they're being thrown at you. And Coach A is just an outlet for you as a father figure. And through tough times, he's always there. And that's very well known in the locker room. So it just makes it so much easier to buy into, you know, the Army culture.
What's it like, you know, now you're working at Army West Point, and what's it like to maybe get to know him from the professional side, as well as get to know the ins and outs of an athletic department and, you know, Army West Point athletics from a different point of view.
Yeah, I think from the other side, just overall with West Point, it just, I think within the lacrosse program, it's pretty crazy to see how much, you know, goes into recruiting and the whole process, because I only went on like one quick visit and then I committed here because I always knew I wanted to come to Army. And, you know, just the amount of work that they put in and how much time it is and traveling. Like, there was like a week and a half stint that I was here at West Point. I was alone because they were all on the road for days on days. So I think it's pretty cool just to see how they go about the recruiting process. And then, you know, actually Coach A and the other coaches play basketball every Tuesday and Thursday morning. So we'll go from like 6 to 8 o'clock and you play to 100. There's about 12 guys. And it's very fun to see the competitive side of Coach A. So you always want to be on his team because he's yelling, he's getting the calls. And I think that's the coolest part is just getting to know him more personally. You know, nothing's really changed because that's kind of how the coach he is during the 4 years. But just like little things I'm getting to learn and a little more comfortable with him.
You said you knew you wanted to go to Army. When was that you knew that, you know, you wanted to go to Army West Point? And just, you know, why? There's obviously the military service that you still have to serve and a lot that goes into it. It's not an easy thing to do. But why do you feel like you were called to this?
Yeah, so growing up, I had two cousins from my that actually lived in the same town of Massapequa, and they both went to West Point. So I kind of grew up around Army lacrosse, and you know, a big thing on the weekends, if you're able to leave, you always bring guys back to your house. So you know, Matt and Nick always had guys at their house, and I just saw like the love that they had for each other, and they were like 2 weeks into the school year and they're already best friends. So I kind of just fell in love with that culture and I always wanted to be a part of it. It was a little bit of a rocky road to get there. I did commit to St. Joe's my sophomore year. I went to a couple recruiting camps here at West Point. They didn't recruit me. I always say that to the coaches. They almost lost me. But luckily, I had a pretty good junior year in high school. I was able to get other calls. So, you know, right when Army called me up, I told my parents in the car ride, I was like, if they offer, I'm saying yes. So Coach A offered me in his office, and he looked at, like, my parents. Like, I said yes immediately. And he was like, are you sure? And they were like, yeah, we knew about this. So, yeah, I knew from a long time I wanted to come here.
And now you're the number one all-time points at Army. So, you know, good change of heart by the Army staff there to kind of give you an offer, I would say.
Yeah.
What is your military service? You know, what does that mean for your pro career and what does that entail and when does that kick in?
Yeah, so I'll be working at West Point as an athletic intern until December. And then following that, my branch is field artillery. And I'll be going to the Bullock, which is like the field artillery school, in February. And I'll go about 4 or 5 months. So that would finish up around the end of June. And obviously I'd be starting the PLL season late, but it all kind of depends on the unit that I get to and like the leadership. They basically kind of give you the green light to leave on the weekends. So if there's no training events or it's kind of a slower weekend, you know, majority of the times you have off every weekend, so it doesn't give much of a problem as long as, you know, times are a little slower. So I'm hoping I can play, and, you know, I want to play for the next couple summers as long as they'll have me. So that's the plan.
That's fantastic. And, you know, obviously you have a, you know, all the military guys have a unique aspect to their pro career. But, you know, it sounds like something you're going to be able to balance there. You know, particularly you mentioned the culture at Army as a reason why you wanted to go and your cousins, but the service aspect, what does that mean to you to be able to serve the country and, you know, and being a member of the U.S. military?
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone kind of has their different reasons as to why they, you know, they put on the uniform and want to join the military. But I think for me, especially kind of what I've learned from being at West Point is, you know, we take a lot of pride in, like, the people that have come before you, and it's very apparent in this culture here at Army. And we have like a Dr. Bowman's he's the head of the law department here, and he loves lacrosse. He has a book that of every single Army lacrosse player that's ever come through West Point, he has a book. So, you know, every single person that's wore, you know, number 20. So all the way back to the 1920s. And I think that just kind of adds to it. And you just see the awesome things that they've done in the military, where that's they died in combat, all the Medal of Honors, all those kind of things like that kind of just makes you want to serve and, be a better leader and not only represent Army of the Cross, but just kind of represent those guys that, came before you.
Yeah, the military academies, when you say be a better leader, when you think of the great leaders in the sport, a lot of them have come from military academies, whether they're coaching now or whether former players are doing amazing things in their careers, outside of the military now. How would you describe yourself as a leader?
Yeah, I think, from an early stage at West Point, what I've learned is I'm very on the field. I'm a pretty strict leader. I think everyone knows is something I'll always give my best in every single drill. And that's kind of how I gain my respect. No matter what the drill is, I'm the most competitive guy there. And I hate losing. And I think that's just something that people buy into. So, when I'm correcting guys just for little tips, whether I'm trying to help them out or, I'm getting on them a little rough just because, whether I say that that's not how I'm with the cross plays and that's not going to help us win. They listen just because I've gained that respect. And then off the field, I think, I'm a completely different person. When you get to know me, I'm a very outgoing guy. I love to joke around. So I think just the balance of those two just kind of goes into my leadership style. And, guys listen to me just because I think they know that I'm also putting the work in.
With your Army career, is there one standout moment from something that happened through your time at Army that really just sticks out above the rest?
It's something that Coach A always says, and I think there's one general thing. It's just the best part about West Point within the leadership is there's so many different leaders that come through in very different ways. And, if you look specifically at the captains, like Nate Jones, I was a senior when I was a freshman, and even Coach A says that he's one of the best leaders of all time. So that's someone that was very strict, and he wanted to write every single time. So I kind of just slowly learned from him. And then there's a guy in my class, Danny Calvasa. He was a captain with me. And, even Coach A says this, he might be the best guy that's ever come through Army lacrosse. And just through the 4 or 5 years I was with him, I just learned so much from him, just not only as a leader, but also as a person. And then, I think beyond that, just through Army lacrosse, I think, you just learn to lead beyond lacrosse just because, there's, especially like I said before, there's just so many things that go on at West Point. And as a leader, you're controlling their, their military life and their personal life. And you understand that everything falls onto the lacrosse field. So, how important it is to control the stuff off the field. So when you're walking into the locker room, you're focusing on lacrosse and you're going to be the best teammate you can be. So I think those are just a couple of things that I've learned throughout my career.
Is there anything that compares to an Army-Navy game?
I think in lacrosse, definitely not. Obviously certain guys like the Maryland Hopkins game, they could get the crowd, but there's a different feeling. I think it stretches beyond just, the feeling that you get. I was fortunate enough to carry out the flag for the home game this year, and, that was just a crazy feeling. I had all my family, all my friends in the crowd, and just the whole week building up to it. It's just different. Coach A even says it, we have a couple different seasons. It's like the non-league, we have the Patriot League, and you have Army Navy. And, although it's just a lacrosse game, that's something that you could talk about for, the rest of your life. So, we didn't win the game this year, but, if you do, you're winning it for the seniors because, the guys always say you could go winless for the whole year, but you beat Navy, and you could talk about that 20 years, and you're going to tell your kids about how you beat Navy that year. So, it just means so much more than nothing could compare to that.
This senior group that you guys had at Army was a really special, it was a big group, and it was a special group, and achieved a lot of things. Just this group, and it went through a lot. It's a group that had to go through COVID, and COVID affected the military academies in a way that was unique that other schools and institutions didn't have to deal with. What can you say about the group of men who graduated from West Point this year?
You know, I from the first, you know, week that I went to the prep school, and coaches always say it is you become best friends in literally a week or 2 weeks. And I love every single one of those guys. And, you know, I think the reason why I truly believe that this is one of the best senior classes to ever come through West Point is not only just how good, obviously, we were, because we had nine freshmen almost basically starting our freshman year to win that Patriot League championship. But, you know, the leadership in the locker room is just, we just push the culture forward. And there's a couple of classes above us that kind of set the tone for that. But we had 19 guys that were all bought in completely into changing the culture. And, you know, I just love seeing every day, you know, everyone just found their role. You know, I mean, there's guys that just like Brent Halk never played a second on Saturdays in the bigger games, but he was still doing the wall. He was still working out. He's bringing freshmen in just so 4 years down the line, Army Lacrosse is pushed forward. So, you know, everything that Coach A preaches about the culture and Army Lacrosse, you know, we just helped push that. So, you know, forward so far. And, you know, I love those guys, and, you know, I just can't wait to see them. It sucks. It's pretty weird being back to West Point and not having those fellows around me.
You know, how do you avoid like kind of asking what if all the time in terms of, you know, what if the 2020 season were to continue and you guys have that year, or what if, you know, all those guys were able to come back for a fifth year? And, you know, personally, if some of the other guys nationally in the country didn't come back for their fifth year, you know, we're looking at you as a multi-time first team All-American, winning a Tourton, you know, stuff like that. You know, how do you avoid that trap, I guess, of kind of thinking of what could have been without the COVID year?
Yeah, see, when you hear, you know, about the guys coming back and not getting our seniors back for a fifth year, it's pretty tough immediately. But, you know, our culture is just so strong that there's two things how we thought about it is one, you know, we're playing for that class of 2020, and obviously that's tough for them to hear, and they don't want to hear that because, you know, they want to play that out. But that was always in the back of our mind, you know, playing the next couple of years. And that was a special, special class. And they just went about it so well, and they still reach out to us all the time. And then the other thing is just, it adds a chip on your shoulder is, you know, other schools are bringing in transfers now. They have the fifth years, and we just know that the guys that are in our locker room are in our locker room, and they're not going anywhere, and we got no one coming in besides the freshman classes. So it just – we understood that we had to be that much better if we want to reach our goals. That's just because, you know, Coach A always put it as, like, teams are going to be at that much of a higher level. And to reach that level, we got to go so much more beyond that because we only have what's in our locker room. So, you know, our guys just work so much harder to, you know, reach our goals. And the chip on the shoulder just kind of carried a lot of our culture.
The chip on the shoulder, when we started this out, you talked about how, you know, you're not a behind the back guy. You're not a flashy guy. You know, but it is one of those things where, like, you probably haven't gotten the viral clips on SportsCenter and, you know, the maybe the attention that you deserved because of the workmanlike way that you play the game. But, you know, I kind of get the vibe that you wouldn't change a thing in terms of the way you do things, would you?
Yeah, I could care less. You know, it's cool sometimes when you go viral for various plays, and I love seeing those type of plays, but I've just been very comfortable with the way I play the game. And that's kind of just putting my shoulder down to 5x5 and making passes. So it's very simple for me. And all I care about is, you know, the team winning. So every single game I go in, I'm fine with getting 0 points as long as we get the win. You know, it's like I don't have to take 10 shots every game. So that's just something that's I've gotten very comfortable with. And that's just never going to change.
But with the PLL, you know, one of the things that I think is amazing about pro lacrosse is, you know, it gives guys maybe a chance to showcase their personality a little bit, but to continue their playing career when, you know, years ago, you know, whether it was some of the limited opportunities that you had in MLL or, you know, prior to that, when there were no opportunities whatsoever, you graduate and you're done, you know, so what is the opportunity, you know, how much do you appreciate the opportunity that you have in front of you with, you know, the ability to play pro lacrosse?
Yeah, I think, two things is just, everyone there just loves lacrosse, and it's just nice to, you know, it's something that you love playing growing up, and, you know, that love just never changes. And I'm just fortunate enough that I get to play that every day. And the main reason that keeps me coming back and will keep me coming back in the years is just the team culture and, you know, competing is just something that I love. And, you know, I love the Tuesday and Thursday mornings basketball, but it's a little different when you're playing professional lacrosse and the compete level's at a different level. So I just love walking into the locker room every time and, you know, get seeing the teammates when you see them on that Friday night at the hotel and you're giving each other hugs. And that's just something that I'm always going to be fortunate for and I'm going to hold on to for as long as possible.
With those basketball games, what is Coach A the basketball player like? What's his style of play?
You know, I'm assuming it's changed once it comes with the age, but he's definitely a facilitator. He's a couple moving screens here and then that don't get called, but he's very good at the flow of offense. So he'll yell at you if you're kind of just sitting in the corner, posted up for a three. Every time you're on his team, it's you got to be cutting somewhere or send a pick. So he's definitely he manages the whole offense, and he does it very well.
He's a veteran. He's earned some of those moving screen calls, though, right?
Oh, yeah. You don't say anything. You just got to try and fight through it.
You know, back to the on field for this coming weekend, you guys have the Water Dogs. And they're a team that went into the All-Star break looking pretty good. You know, they had a few early struggles, but they came in, you know, two wins that, you know, they look like they belong in that kind of conversation of top half of the league there. What do you expect from them in this matchup?
Yeah, I think obviously they're finding their rhythm. Obviously having Michael Sowers back is going to do that to a team. But, you know, I don't think we change. Obviously, we look at the matchups and our defense does the film and they figure all that out. And offense will kind of figure out how they slide, the slide packages. But, you know, we kind of just look at us. And every single week, our captains and our leadership and the team just what we always say is going to play a complete game. It seems like every week, whether our offense is fired up or our defense is making crazy stops and Scones is staying on his head. So we just know that if we want to play late into the playoffs and make a run, we just got to play a complete game. So majority of the focus is just on us because we know when the ball's moving on offense and everybody's sharing the ball, doing their role, we think that we're the best offense in the league.
You know, and last thing is we're kind of at the midway point and you've watched enough lacrosse and pro sports in general and college sports to know that, you know, four or five games doesn't make a season. A whole season makes a season. You know, how do you keep your foot on the gas and keep focused through what's a long season? And you've already had a long break here that you kind of got to get back into a rhythm.
Yeah, I think just going into the break, like I said before, our leadership did a great job in saying that this isn't just vacation. You know, you have to keep the stick in your hand, the cardio. So I strongly believe that, you know, our guys are coming into it the same way 2 weeks ago, and they're ready to play. And then, you know, it's just all about the mindset. We just can't be comfortable. Obviously, this is the first time that the Crone's been, you know, 4-1. We just got to have the mindset that every week we just got to get a W, and we just got to learn from each week. And just slowly progress through the season. And like every sport, you got to be hot at the right time. So we're just going to find our rhythm late in the season and carry that into the playoffs.
Awesome, Brendan. This was awesome hanging out. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.